यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्रीअद्वैता गदाधा शिवाचारि गोपवृंद Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotara Sisi Madhiskan Founder Acharya's Divine Grace Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Rupa Upadhi Ki Iskan Founder Acharya Sri Rupa Upadhi Ki Anantakota Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsi Gahosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopanath Shyamakunda Radhakun Giri Govardhana Ki Gangamai Jamunamai Ki Sri Navadip Maipo Dham Ki Sri Bajabhumi Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Shetra Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Harinam Sankirtana Ki Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon Ki Gopremanandi. All glories to the symbol devotees, all glories to the symbol devotees, all glories to the symbol devotees, all glories to Guru and Gauranga, glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today's verse we're reading from, fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, the forest of enjoyment. And we're reading from text number
30,
which is again some interesting Sanskrit. We'll give you some entertainment while I read it. Yada pankandibir atma vanchitaistair uru vanchito brahmakulam samabhasam stesham silam upanayanadi sarta smarta kamanushta nena bhagavato yagya purushasya radhanam evatad arochayan sudra kulam bhajate nagamachare sudito yasyam mituni baba kutamba baranam yathabanara banara jate. Word for word, yada, when pakandibi, by pasandis, godless atheists, atmavanchitai, who themselves are cheated. Tai, by them. Uru, more and more. Vanchita, being cheated. Brahmakulam, the bona fide among them to advance, the bona fide Brahmanas, strictly following the Vedic culture. Samavasan, settling among them to advance spiritually. Tesham, of them. The Brahmanas who strictly follow Vedic principles. Shilam, the good character. Upanaya Adi, beginning with offering the sacred thread, or training the conditioned soul to qualify as a bona fide Brahmana. Sharta, according to the Vedic principles. Smarta, according to the authorized scriptures derived from the Vedas. Kama anushtanena, the performance of activities. Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yagya purushasya, who is worshipped by Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Aradhanam, the process of worshipping him. Eva, certainly. Tat arochayan, not finding pleasure, in due to its being difficult for unscrupulous persons to perform. Sudrakulam, the society of sudras. Bhajate, he turns to. Nigama achare, in behaving according to Vedic principles. Asudita, not purified. Yasya, of whom? Mituni bhava, sex enjoyment or the materialistic way of life. Kutumba Bharanam, the maintenance of the family. Yata, as it is. Vanarat Jate, of the society of monkeys, or the descendants of the monkey. Translation: the pseudo swamis, yogis and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are known as pasandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement, and whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles, Brahmanas or those in Krishna consciousness, who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals again fall down and take shelter among sudras, who are very expert in making arrangements for sex indulgence. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of monkeys. Purport by His Divine Grace S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By fulfilling the process of evolution from the aquatics to the animal platform, a living entity eventually reaches the human form. The three modes of material nature are always working in the evolutionary process. Those who come to the human form through the quality of Sattva-gun were cows in their last animal incarnation. Those who come to the human form through the quality of Rajagun were lions in their last animal incarnation, and those who come to the human form through the quality of Tamagun were monkeys in their last animal incarnation. In this age, those who come through the monkey species are considered by modern anthropologists like Darwin to be descendants of monkeys. We receive information herein that those who are simply interested in sex are actually no better than monkeys. Monkeys are very expert in sexual enjoyment, and sometimes sex glands are taken from monkeys and placed in the human body so that a human being can enjoy sex in old age. In this way, modern civilization has advanced. Many monkeys in India were caught and sent to Europe so that their sex glands could serve as replacements for those of old people. Those who actually descend from the monkeys are interested in expanding their aristocratic families through sex. In the Vedas, there are also certain ceremonies especially meant for sexual enjoyment and promotion to higher planetary systems where the demigods are enjoying sex. The demigods are also very much inclined towards sex because that is the basic principle of material enjoyment. Just wondering if I could break this class in halves. It's quite a long purport there by Srila Prabhupada, and we can discuss it in two sections. Om magyana timadandasya gananjana salakaya chakshurunmalatam yena tasmai sigaruve namaha mukham karoti vachalam pangam gayate girim lakkipatamaham vande svigurundinitaranam. I'd like to recite a sloka which I have to read because I don't know it. From the fifth canto, Prahlad Maharaj said, Swastyastu vishvasya kala prasidatam jayantu bhutani shivam mato diya manascha badram bhajatadadoksaje aveshitam no matir apyahoituki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. By accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Okay. I thought I brought some notes with me here. Yes. Somewhere deep down in there. Okay. Nasta praeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttamas loke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. Regularly hearing the Srivan Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed to nil. Loving service to the Supreme Personality of God is praised with transcendental hymns is established as an irrevocable fact. So Srila Prabhupada is actually, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here in the Srivan Bhagavatam. We had many interesting and enlightening discourses over the time I've been here in the last couple of weeks, and I'd like to reiterate a couple of the salient points. Going back a little bit, Bhadra Narayan Swami was giving many examples of how the living being is cheated in so many ways by his own material desires, by his social conditioning, by the corporate society, giving many, many examples to convince us that this world is indeed a place of the cheaters and the cheated. And following on from that aspect of the forest of material enjoyment, where the herons and the vultures, and there are so many predators ready to try and exploit the exploiter, the cheaters and the cheated. The mercantile man goes to make some profit, but he becomes the object of exploitation. And then I think Mukunda Dattaprabhu was discoursing on the subject matter of the enemies, or the insurmountable enemies that are faced. Is this a little loud? It's okay? Is it echoing a little bit? The insurmountable enemies, there was a long list of them here in the Bhagavatam: lust, greed, anger. Can anyone remember some of the enemies that were listed there? Yes? Fear. Lamentation. Lamentation. Anger. Madness. Illusion. It was a big, big long list, and it ended by saying all of these enemies are insurmountable. And we were hearing that the powers that be now are the transnational corporations, the TNCs, I think he said, and how they are a very materialistic outlook, and that we are conditioned, very much conditioned by these different influences, yesterday the subject came to the time factor, how we are all under the subjugation of the time factor. And Prabhu Savabhama was giving different angles of understanding that time factor in relation to the non-devotees, how time is taking away their span of life. And we had some revelation about the reality tour of the time factor: birth, death, old age and disease. And how it's an unpalatable truth. What do they call it? Something truth. Inconvenient truths of material life are there. So we were hearing these subject matters, and how the time factor is the friend, is the form, one of the energies of the Lord, and how it supports the onward march, kamani nidahati, kintu to bhakti bhajam, on the path of bhakti, how this form of Krishna, he's supporting, he gives whatever time is necessary for the devotee to achieve the outcome of the sojourn of so many millions of lives in the material world. So the subject now, the forest of enjoyment. Forest of enjoyment is a very significant chapter in the Bhagavatam. We've been hearing for some time at length about the enlightenment of King Rahugana by Jad Bharat. And after a couple of chapters of philosophical, information, advice being given by Jad Bharat, he summarized it for Maharaj Rugana. And then after that episode, then Sukadev Goswami King Parikshit asked Sukadev Goswami to summarize that information in a digestible way. And then Sukadev Goswami has given this very significant chapter, The Forest of Material Enjoyment. It's like a this chapter is like a revelation of material life. We come into this material world
with our aspirations like the mercantile person, seeing what opportunities are availing themselves today. But the hapless living entity is caught in the hunter's trap, and the hunter is Maya, and she has powerful weapons to frustrate or thwart any attempt to escape from this inescapable prison house of Durga. So we're hearing in this chapter about the an allegory, a representational story about the plight of every living entity, you and I, and our sojourn in a material existence, and the symptoms of the psychology or the mentality of the living entity, how he's always trying to, always hoping against hope for some happiness in the material world. But there are so many enemies already in place. So when we read this chapter, we hear how it begins that the family members, the tigress and the jackals, ready to plunder the victimized husband, and how the living entity, how he addresses his challenges of material life. So these things are illustrated in this chapter. So it's a very significant chapter. If we read through this chapter, then it will certainly defuse. If we read through it with a objective view, it'll defuse any hopes that we have left in material life. So it's a very important chapter. And it's coming to this verses are dealing with the substance of the living entity's commitment to material life, or the pinnacle of material enjoyment, Matuni Bhava, the union of male and female, is described in the Bhagavatam, Pumsastriya Matuni Bhava Metam, Tor Etam, Vidagrantamahu, Atapta Krihetra Sutapta Vritaya, Janasya Maham, Mahoyam Hammameti. That this conviction that I am the body, and that I have a right to commandeer so many things in my cause, in my rightful claim for enjoyment. I'm a child of the universe. It owes me something. Thinking in this misguided, perverted way. And the living entity suffers tribulation after tribulation for his education. It's an educational tour, the tour of reality. So we've come to Krishna consciousness to be educated, to be re-educated, to be acculturalized to the spiritual standards. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in a very heavy way the trap that even the spiritualist can fall into. Here it's described here that some people, they attempt to follow different cheap yogis and swamis. Yes, you can become all you can experience your potential in just a very short time for a very small fee. Probably many of us have been through the scenario of the cheating swamis, yogis and gurus. The mantra that's never been heard before for only $30 was being toted when I was a youth, but it didn't do much, so we went back to the dealer. So we tried many of these schools, and eventually we came to Krishna consciousness by some profound good fortune. So in the process of assimilating Krishna consciousness, there is a little price, a little more than $30. Prana diya vakya, what is it? Prana After Diya Vakya, Krishna wants your whole life, all your money, all your intelligence. You have to give up your brain power. And he wants you to continually speak about him. This is a small price. And we can become Krishna conscious and go back home to Godhead. So when we find out about this price, sometimes we thought it was just like the new Bhakta leader said, oh, and just chanting a little, taking prasadam, eat your way back to Godhead. Irresistible. So, but you have to do a little seva, Prabhu. Jai, Sisi Gona Taya, Sisi Krishna Balaram, Sisi Radha Sham, Lalita Vishaka Kija. So, the real price is that we have to give up the desire for sense gratification. And it's very, very deeply rooted. And it's going to take a very, very committed endeavor to transfer the consciousness, the quality of the consciousness, from karma to prema. It's a very significant change. Srila Prabhupada writes that changing the metita into a lover of God is a very difficult job. Prabhupada was saying, like cleaning the coals. He's taking base metal, iron, and he's offering to make the beautiful heart of the devotee. So the nature of the beautiful heart of the Vaishnava is very soft and very compassionate. That's why I recited that prayer in the beginning. Prahlad Maharaj is desiring to liberate everyone to the platform of loving devotion, wherein the welfare of others is a prime concern. In this way, God is pleased with such a mentality, and the path of human society becomes progressive. So it's a very difficult job to get rid of this karma in the heart, this desire for sense gratification. It's not a quick fix. You just can't put on the put on the right color and it's all over. It's not a quick fix. We have to be ready to give our heart and soul vyavaya savatmika buddhi. We have to be ready to dedicate our life to the service of Guru. And in this, we may be fortunate to follow the simple life of brahmachari. Good luck. I mean, God, you're blessed to do that. Or most of us will have to learn a bit by the school of hard knocks. It's another auspicious path. Just takes a little longer and a little more hard work in some areas. Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj is quoting from, this is from a friend of, from a student was quoting this, that if you work very hard in the Grihastha Ashram, there are many obligations, many tribulations. But if you work very dutifully, you perform your Dharma, and the Dharma in the Grihastha Ashram, you have to look after the dependents and make sure they're Krishna conscious, and you have a great obligation to society at large, because a person has to be very vigilant to make his home a respite for needy people. Just like Srila Prabhupada's father used to daily go out onto the street, is anybody hungry? Please come. Prabhupada said he would at least entertain several sadhus every day, because he was a real grihastha, and this is grihastha's duty to give in charity, to, you know, extricate themselves from the fruits of their work. This is a very important obligation. The main obligation in the household of life is to give charity. The other day I had the good fortune to be invited to a friend's place here. He's from South India. He said there's not many grihasthas here in Vrindavan from South India. He's a very qualified scientist, computer scientist. He could get a job, good job anywhere. People are pleading him to come and work for them. But they have three little children, and his wife and himself, his name's Subramaniam, when they started to become Krishna conscious, then they realized the dangers out there in the material society. You know, the promotion for the games and all these things which are often aimed at the youth, and they realized, you know, better take shelter of Radha Shyam in Vrindavan. So they've come here and they're living in a, you know, hand-to-mouth fashion. And Mataji, she said, it's been here for 3 years. She said, it's very difficult sometimes. Radharani, you know, she wants to see if the devotees are sincere. Sometimes they're suffering some health problems or sometimes a monetary problem. She said, it's always one or the other, just about in Vrindavan. And she shares the experience with many people. But they're very, very blissfully committed, because one of their Shiksha gurus, he asked advice. And he said, no, don't go out of Vrindavan while the children are young like that. Or don't leave them. You're the father. You have to be with them. So he's very joyfully inviting devotees to his house and sharing whatever little resources he has, knowing well that this is his part of his dharma. So if we want to be successful in our aspirations in Krishna consciousness, then we have to follow the regulations of Dharma. The point was that Bhakti Vidyapurna was apparently quoting, is that when you follow your duties very nicely in the Grihastha Dham, Ashram, then what is the reward? The reward is you get free from sex life. That's the reward. And Prabhupada says, if you become free from sex life, you're practically liberated. A big portion of the job is done. So while I was at the retreat recently, I was staying with a very good friend, well-wisher, and he was testing my knowledge a little bit, knowing that I've come out of the Grihastha Ashram. He said, how do you help your wife become free from lust? Or how do you become free from lust in the Grihastha Ashram? Sort of caught me off guards a little bit, and I said, well, you just stay busy so that you haven't got time for it. I've heard this idea toted around. But he corrected me. This is not actually, this is a band-aid cure. Repression, Krishna says, will not last if you just hide the problem. He says, you have to show your wife love. You have to love her. You have to love everybody. You have to show real love, real concern for each other's Krishna conscious. And then you'll be so busy being Krishna conscious that you'll enjoy the higher taste. So overcoming karma doesn't mean repression, it means expression of our natural tendencies in the appropriate way. And Krishna says that mitta tadasa uchite, no use being a pretender if your mind is somewhere else, but better to follow the path of karma yoga, bhakti yoga, and control the mind by performing activities in Krishna consciousness. This is the positive engagement for the mind and senses. And then Krishna says that you can overcome this greatest enemy by this process of regulation. Indriyan, what is it? Tasman indriyanya do niyamya bharatashaba tatmanam prajihinam kama rupa darasadam. This great enemy in the form of lust, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin by regulating the senses. Thus you can overcome this formidable enemy. So this regulation is the Vedic process, the prescribed activities in the varnas and ashrams. And Srila Prabhupada, hang on, where to go from here? All right. Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that just to confirm, reiterate the point that Mukunda Datta was singing some very funny song by Kabir, and I wish I spoke Hindi because it elicited a lot of humour, but he was saying how Kabir wrote this poem that confirms this chapter of the Forest of Interior Enjoyment, that their so-called love in the household is simply, in the materialistic household, simply based on selfish desires. No more. He's exposing it in a very, very, very flat way. Srila Prabhupada is also affirming that there is no love in the material world. There is no love. He said, just like love or friendship, you may share a very, meaningful relationship. But if something happens in that relationship, goodbye. Never speak again. Many times this happens. We don't expect it. We'll think we'll be friends for life. If something happens, how could he do that? I'll never forgive him. On and on. Because Prabhupada said, because there's some condition there. Real spiritual love is unconditional. Ahoitaki. That unconditional love, it can only be experienced when Krishna is there. For Krishna is the only unconditional lover. Even the highest aspect of love in the material world, between that of the mother and the child. We see sometimes the child kills the mother, or the mother kills the child, or the father kills the son. These things are going on. Aurangzeb, right? Killed his brothers and imprisoned his father, Is this material life? His little baby is so much love and affection, later on become worst enemies. Because there's conditions there. But when we evoke unconditional love through the gradual path of bhakti, through the gradual evolution of bhakti, and then we can start to achieve an understanding of the symptoms and the mentality of pure devotion. So we have to understand the symptoms. The Daivi Sampat, we were hearing from the Bhagavad Gita about the qualities of knowledge. That knowledge, that means awareness, jnana. It doesn't mean just some facts and some shlokas, the shloka belt. That means a kind of consciousness. And because these qualities are mentioned, what is it? Humility. What's it start off in the chapter 13? Pridelessness, humility, tolerance. All these qualities, you can't quantify them. They're book knowledge. Krishna says these are knowledge and all else is ignorance. So seeing the symptoms of a Vaishnava, then we have to follow in their footsteps and we have to take their shelter. So I'd just like to finish this purport. Got only short time left. First of all, the conditioned soul is cheated by so-called swamis, yogis and incarnations when he approaches them to be relieved of material miseries. When the conditioned soul is not satisfied with them, he comes to devotees and pure brahmanas who try to elevate him for final liberation from material bondage. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat-eating. Thus he falls down and takes shelter of people who are like monkeys. In the Krishna consciousness movement, these monkey disciples, being unable to follow the strict regulative principles, sometimes fall down and try to form societies based on sex. This is proof that such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. In this verse it is therefore clearly stated, Jata Banara Jate. Banara Jate, descendants of monkeys. So definitely I have some monkey predecessors in the family tree, Gochara, the Banara Gochara. And I can honestly say it's yesterday Prabhuji Janardhan Swami was trying to find a class person to give class. He asked me, he said, how long have you been a devotee? I said, a few decades, Prabhu. But I can tell you it's no qualification for being a devotee. Because I'm learning so much day by day. Simple things that I should have learned on the first week as a bhakta. I was just at the retreat and I was marking down in red print, pratishta, the biggest enemy, the cause of all anattas. I have to give this up now before it's too late. Before I die desiring these foolish, foolish objectives. You know, some recognition. And then all the corollary problems that follow from this misguided aspiration. And my friend here was involved in the discussion with the 24-hour kirtan people. He told me a nice response from one of the kirtaniers. He asked them very cordially, "Do you need anything for the kirtan?" One kirtaniya boldly, I guess in the following footsteps of Ayendra Prabhu, he said to Manamata, "We don't need money. We need pure devotional service." Manabhata was impressed, I think. So we need this aspiration or conviction, but we need a feasible path to get from A to B. We're not pure devotees when we come to Krishna consciousness. We are very contaminated souls, and it's a long path, Prabhupada said, from karma to prema, from ado shraddha to Krishna prema, to bhava. But it's illustrated how the living entity can go there by performing the appropriate activities. So, Srila Prabhupada was very concerned. It was brought out a couple of days ago from Bhagavad Gita that the demoniac, they do not have a social and political and something else system for the upliftment of people, wasn't it? It was in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Naramam Duskritino Mudha. I said, these Naradama, the lowest among men, they don't care for the Vedic injunctions. They create their own kinds of societies. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned that we incorporate the principles of the Vedic society, of the Varnashram Dham, so that we can progressively attain the goal. And the devotees were questioning Prabhupada when he was talking about Varnashram Dham at different times, saying that, but this is for the Kamis, we're devotees. Prabhupada says, where are the devotees that are chanting Akanda Kirtan, chanting 24 hours the holy name? No, they're falling down to monkey life many times. Therefore, you can find in Prabhupada's last purports in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, chapter 14, Brahma Vimohan Lila, Prabhupada is recommending that Varnashram system for the upliftment of society to the sattva platform. The sattva platform is so conducive. And Srila Prabhupada was so much inspired to develop farm communities just to bring people a little bit out of the Raja and Tamas to a position where they could work in sattva. Sattva is also a kind of shackles, but it's an auspicious platform to begin our devotional service. And it's interesting, while I was looking for that prayer by Prahlad Maharaj, I came across, I was just flicking through the fifth, a few later chapters in the in this fifth canto, and 18:9. I just accidentally came upon a verse where Narada Muni is offering his prayers. Where is it? I thought I had the right verse here. Sorry. Get it? Don't worry. Try again. Okay, 18:9. I think it's this one. 19:10, sorry. Anyway, almost had it. Okay. Okay, there's a verse here. It says, in his own book known as Narada Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion, through knowledge and through execution of the mystic yoga system. He has also described the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of this transcendental science literature to Sarvani Manu in order to teach those inhabitants of Bharat Varsh who strictly follow the principles of Varnashram Dham how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus Narada Muni, along with the other inhabitants of Bharat Varsh, always engages in the service of Naranarayan, and he chants as follows. So Srila Prabhupada mentions the importance of Varnashram in the purport there. And actually we can't avoid Varnashram because we have a society of men and women. That's a Varna, the women's ashram, and the duties of the women's ashram pointed out by Narada Muni. And it's a very important part because the women's energy is a very potent, powerful energy. Kapila Muni, he says that the form of woman is like personified Maya for the man. And we can be, what man cannot be bewildered by the personified energy of the Lord unless he is blessed? Just like we said, the grihastha, if he performs his duties the whole life nicely, then he may be blessed. Prabhu, you please serve the Lord. He may be blessed. It's the same way, all men, we're coming from mother. We have to be blessed by the mother. Therefore, real knowledge. Srila Prabhupada quotes many times from Chanakya, matravatsa sava pareshu, lastravat paradravyeshu, atmavat sava bhuteshu, pasyantisa pandita. A real person of knowledge sees every woman as a mother. He doesn't lust after other people's property and he treats others as he would have treated themselves. So this point of motherhood in our society has to be brought back. I think I've been hearing my nice sister Devaki doing some seminars. I've heard that she's doing some seminars pointing out this point to our ladies in the society and to the men also, that when we have the proper role models, when the men revere the motherhood of women, they become an auspicious energy for the men. And this is something that's missing in society, this relationship of being blessed by the mother. We have a society based on exploiting the mother, and this transnational cooperative world domination knows very well that if you agitate the young mind with sex life, objects of the sex, they'll be easy to control. If the mind is completely agitated from a young age, then you can manipulate people because they'll have nothing else on their mind. Number one hit on the Google engine is sex. By anything. It's all what's going on in the ether. So it's not so important, but it's been made paramount importance. It's in your face. You can't escape. You have to transcend by Krishna consciousness, by sincere Krishna consciousness. So there was a nice prayer being quoted by Bhakti Vinod, by Satchinandan Maharaj. He's quoting this beautiful prayer that every devotee should pray, that for so long, my dear Lord, I have ignored you. Today I am turning to you as your serious and sincere servant. Please accept me. By the nature of the prayers of devotees, we can understand the heart of the devotee. So today is the appearance day of a great devotee, follower of Srila Prabhupada, Radhanath Swami. I've never had any personal sangha there, but I was very inspired to read his book, how he was traveling through Afghanistan and one lusty lady tried to seduce him. Have you read the book? A wonderful story, Maharaji. You know, penniless, coming, trying to get to India. And he ended up in Afghanistan somewhere in Kabul, and some person invited him to their house, some lady, But she turned out to be a lusty witch. She had a big servant and she tried to seduce Radhanath Swami. And he had to run for his life. I was wandering around Afghanistan about the same year looking for that lady. What he was running away from, I was looking for. So it's taken a long time to appreciate the reality of this witch called Maya. So another great soul is Siksha Guru for me is Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And we're all trying to get liberated. We don't want to be shackled. Arjuna didn't want to be shackled by so many obligations. We're all trying to get liberated from the trappings of the mind. So in his prayers called the Beggar, Bhakti Tirtha Swami was illustrating the un-Vaishnav mind hiding beneath. He said that the disciple, he approaches the guru, when will I be liberated? When will I go back to Godhead and enjoy my relationship with Radha and Krishna? And the guru, he responds, see that lady over there with the little children, with no house and no husband? When you're willing to take her position, then you'll be ready. In so many ways, Maharaj, you read that book, The Beggar? In so many ways, he shows so many unfortunate persons and he says to the disciple, when you're willing to share their burden, then you have the Vaishnav heart. These are nice lessons. Actually, one time Maharaj Bhakti Tirtha, he wrote in his Vyasa Puja to Prabhupada, he wrote that, we have distributed so many books to the Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, but have you conquered sex life? And he said, but Prabhupada, we have made so many devotees. And Prabhupada said, yes, but have you conquered sex life? And Prabhupada said, and Bhakti Tirtha said, Prabhupada, we have opened so many temples. And Prabhupada said, yes, but have you conquered sex life? So externally we may do many things, but this is an affair of the heart. We actually have to come to this pure heart of desiring the mood of the Vaishnav. Kabe habe bolo se dinama. When with a meek heart will I set out to entreat others to chant the holy name, to read the Bhagavatam? When in this way, overcoming offences, will the taste for the name come? So to help that taste come, when we live in the nice society of like-minded souls, that can be very supportive and very inspirational. So as I said before, Srila Prabhupada had an aspiration to develop some Vedic communities where we can live peacefully and we can demonstrate what we talk about. So I'm very fortunate. I live in Australia. We have a nice farm. We're trying to develop that. And I've seen one thing, that when people come to our farm, who is the best preacher? Who is the best preacher? I can tell you that it has four legs. When people come and see Mother Cow and the bull, that can do more than the best lectures. And the cow licks the people, because they're all missing this motherhood. You know, with the cows in the centre and with the goal set for developing our taste for the name and service, Nam Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva and Jiva Doya. These are the three symptoms of the Vaishnav's heart. And by aspiring for these things, then we conquer the lower nature. Evam buddhe param buddhva samsta vyatmanam atmana tihisatun mahabaho kama rupa tarasatam. Krishna says, by controlling the lower nature, by deliberate spiritual intelligence, you control the lower nature by the higher nature, and thus you can progress and conquer the enemy. Not by repressive methods, but by Vaishnav Achar. So thank you very much for giving me a chance. I wandered here and there. I was a bit around the place, but maybe someone has some comment or question. Or maybe like Janardhan, we have some service to do. Just have to go. Yes, Prabhu.
As we have read in the scriptures that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but as you have mentioned, all in the material life there is always a conflict and people like to enjoy themselves. So the best way to bring about, you have said in the last things that we, by higher knowledge, we can control all these things. So basically the whole world is like, say for instance we are enjoying food, right, prasadam and other things. I can't understand that when Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, how do we bring about a correlation between those two things?
Yeah, we have to serve the deity with love and faith. This is one of the pancha anga, that when we make an offering, Prabhupada says in the beginning, we're offering pizza to the deity. Why? Because the deity likes pizza.
Yeah.
No, and we like pizza. He said, but later on, as our, you know, attachment to Krishna consciousness, to Krishna, actually begins to manifest, and it gradually becomes more important what's pleasing to the deity. So in this way, it's the beginning stage to offer what we like to Krishna, but we should understand that we're trying to advance on the path of putting Krishna in the middle, as was being explained by Satchinandan Swami. The problem is aham mamaiti. We are in the middle now. But we want to get to the point where Krishna's in the middle. So we're living in the nice Vrindavan atmosphere. There's so much nice prasadam. And there's so much nice service. So we shouldn't be just, we shouldn't be just servants of living to eat, thinking where the best prasadam in Vrindavan is. Because, you know, if you're a neophyte, well, it's one way to control the senses. But we have so much nice opportunity for sadhusanga, and by that sadhusanga it's so nurturing for our Krishna consciousness that like Lord Chaitanya, when he came to Vrindavan, he forgot to eat. He was so much relishing the mellows of Krishna bhakti. So these things are possible. We've seen many devotees attain very, you know, advanced stages of Krishna consciousness. So we just have to somehow pray for the call out for their mercy and call out to cry, to be able to cry for love for Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you for nice question. You have a question? Last question, because
Hare Krishna,
I think they're having some celebrations today.
Hare Krishna. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashta prayasu abdreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. All the miscreants will go away if we have that in our mind, nityam bhagavata sevaya. See, that was a nashta prayasu abdreshu, is all the miscreants will be abolished if we follow this rule, nityam bhagavata sevaya. Every time, every day, every moment, you have to save Krishna.
Yes, this is.
I'd like to comment on you.
Yes, this is very true. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. When we hear the Bhagavatam and we're inspired to follow the Bhagavat Marg, the path of the Bhagavats, and that path of the Bhagavats is Oitakiya Pratiyata, to come to pure devotional service and to associate with those persons, Sudha Bhakata Charanarenu, to take the dust of the feet of great devotees, Bhakata Seva, to serve those devotees. These things will nourish our own Krishna Bhakti. So, when we hear from the devotees, we hear the message of the Bhagavatam, and then we follow sincerely, and definitely we'll get the fruit. There's no doubt about it. Everyone will experience some inspirational indications. We have to see the indications in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna is trying to bring us home. So when we follow and when we associate with, when we take the shelter of the devotees, of the advanced devotee, when we take the shelter, there are indications that everything is auspicious. Whereas in material life, everything is inauspicious. In this chapter, all the inauspicious symptoms are there, but still the living entity is determined. So now we have to give up this determination. It won't work. We have to put Krishna back in the center. They say sex life is the root of material existence, but we know from scripture, Vayam Dutiya, this aversion to Krishna is actually the what comes before that. When we become averse to the service of Krishna, then we're captured by Maya. So this Bhagavat Marg, it's the path of service, beginning with hearing. Very auspicious. Thank you very much for the nice question, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.